Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You could think of it as a hellish trip back to the 1980s. A scourge of easily available dangerous drugs has made the county roads of West Virginia look like the urban war zones of East LA and Miami during the crack epidemic. Those drug sales enriched the cartels of Mexico and Colombia with billions years ago. But in West Virginia today, fatal overdoses from prescription drugs has been on the rise. In a six-year period from 07 till 2012, 1,728 West Virginians died from the opioid-prescribed drugs hydrocodone and oxycodone. In that very same time period, these overdoses have spiked. Prescription drug companies like McKesson Corporation and Cardinal Health have been enriched from a flood of sales in the billions. 780 million hydrocodone and oxycodone pills were shipped across the state in that six-year period alone. Eric Ayer is a reporter for the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Your investigation has been an extraordinary look at something that seems to be tearing your state apart. Eric, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
First of all, I mean, these numbers are just staggering, and describe how they're being funneled through a relatively small number of pharmacies and counties.
Right. Most of the pharmacies we found that were receiving the massive quantities of hydrocodone, which is Lortab, and oxycodone, which is OxyContin, they were these small, independent, locally owned pharmacies. They weren't the Rite Aids, they weren't the Walgreens, they weren't the Walmarts. They're these small, independently owned pharmacies. We found one in southern West Virginia that over 2 years had nearly 9 million hydrocodone pills shipped there. That was in a town of only 437 people. We had another county, Wyoming County, which is sort of the center of the OxyContin epidemic. And there was a pharmacy there in the county seat that was getting upwards of 600,000, 700,000 oxycodone pills a year. And there was a Rite Aid just eight blocks away that was getting 6,000 pills a year. So wide disparities.
What did these pharmacies say? Did you confront them on what the heck is going on here? I mean, in one case, 433 pills per person, per member of the county.
Right. Well, the focus of the story was on the drug wholesalers. We've written a lot about the pharmacies. The contention of the pharmacies is that they fill valid prescriptions from doctors. Now, unfortunately, that's not really true. A lot of these prescriptions are illegal prescriptions from what we have here. They call them pain clinics. And what you do is, if you have $200, you walk in and pay your money, and sometimes you're not even seen by a doctor, and they'll write you a prescription. So that was sort of the argument of the pharmacies.
And the argument of the corporations is that everything down the chain is legal, so therefore it's none of our concern legally.
Exactly. What they say is that they're the middleman. What the drug wholesalers do is they ship the drugs from the manufacturer to the pharmacies. So they say, you know, we have, you know, a certain number of orders that and we need to fill those orders. But what was happening is they weren't reporting what's called suspicious orders, and that would be, you know, orders of unusual large size or frequency. Things, just to give an example, there'd be a pharmacy that would order, you know, 11,000 hydrocodone pills one day. A couple days later, they'd order 12,000. Another 3 days later, maybe another 15,000 hydrocodone. So there should have been some red flags.
And why weren't there? Who can go after them? Is this a state concern? The governor, of course, has made this a personal crusade.
Yes. Who can go after them? Two entities here. The DEA, of course, they have the same data that we have of these sales. And the drug wholesalers are required to report suspicious orders from pharmacies. And again, those are orders of large volume frequency. So there's both state and federal law. And we didn't actually focus on what the DEA was doing. The Washington Post has done a tremendous series of stories, Lenny Bernstein, on essentially the DEA turning a blind eye to what was going on with the distributors. But here in West Virginia, we have a West Virginia Pharmacy Board that regulates pharmacies, and we learned that there were some rules on the books, but they just weren't enforcing them.
Well, one of the statistics that's the most heartbreaking here is that the CDC now says opioid deaths have surpassed gun deaths in America. Would you suspect, since these statistics are from some years ago, 4 years ago, that as this evolves, people are going to go off prescription drugs and go straight onto street heroin?
That's exactly what has happened. The prescription drugs have sort of set the table for the heroin epidemic. Last year, for the first time, heroin overdoses actually surpassed both OxyContin and hydrocodone overdoses. And then the other thing we're really seeing, I just looked at the overdose data yesterday for this current year, so it's probably only through maybe September. But what was striking was fentanyl was climbing close to heroin. So
that's the drug that killed Prince.
Yes, right. Correct. And we've had situations here with heroin fentanyl being combined. We had a terrible tragedy where 20 people overdosed in one city in about a 6-hour period in Huntington, West Virginia. That was only a couple months ago.
At a time when people are saying that newspapers don't matter, what do you feel about your responsibility to the community here and what the impact could be?
The impact, we're kind of waiting and seeing. Our legislature meets in February, so they've talked about putting some things on the table, but it's a wait and see at this point.
Well, great work. You and your reporters have done an amazing thing there, and you know, we're praying for you there in West Virginia. It sounds like a terrible situation with many years to go. Eric Ayer is a reporter for the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Thanks so much.
Thank you.